thing is to see a youngster come into this school with problems, be it social, academic, emotional, or what have you. And to see that student in a four-year period develop into the type young person that obviously has grown from one point to another. And then to be able to follow that student and hear or see evidence that that student is really headed toward what you believe to be a success in life. I think that's the greatest reward. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel good when a kid comes back, such as a kid we got up at North Carolina Central University now, and say to you, "Mr. Arnold, had it not been for you, I never would have gone to school." Mm-hmm. That type thing makes you feel good.
If you knew of a young black male or female that aspired to be a high school principal in North Carolina, what advice would you give?
I would tell that person to not only focus on academic preparation, but try to develop a set of beliefs that can become a part of his daily life to the extent that he influences students through his very presence. We hear a lot about the need for black role models, the need for role models. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. An English teacher had as an assignment here the other day, describe certain people in their previous life. And one of the kids decided to describe Mr. Arnold. Mm-hmm. He said Mr. Arnold was a preacher in his previous life and will be in his next life.
And will be in his next life too.
Not that I am a religious fanatic. As a matter of fact, I don't talk about religion. I do talk. My motto is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But I think it's because I talk about the rightness of it all. Everything I tell students is focused on do it because it is right. Not because Mr. Hall said it, not because somebody else said it, but because it is right. And that's my strong belief and my hope. And I think that not only do you say those things, but you must develop a set of beliefs where that's a part of you so that kids can see it and emulate those qualities. That would be my advice to a young person. And go for it.
And go for it.
By all means, be an educator. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any words of wisdom? We've come to the end of the interview, guy.
I have no words of wisdom. I have some hopes.
Well, let's hear the hopes.
I hope that the powers that be across the state of North Carolina will recognize that we are in a crisis stage as it relates to minority educators, and that we will see the need to actively recruit minority educators, and that in the process of hiring them, not hold them to a set of artificial standards higher than we apply to all others. I am sick and tired of identifying minority candidates and seeing principals drag them out from May to late August until they find a job elsewhere, and then they come running back and say, "I was going to hire that lady. I'm tired of that."
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get serious in our belief,
mm-hmm,
that minority educators make a valuable contribution to the integrated educational process. it bothers me that as I look at Gentry School over there, a school that was formerly all black, a K-3 school, it has only one black teacher on its staff now. That bothers me. Those black kids and those white kids can benefit at their formative stages from being exposed to all types of ethnic groups in leadership roles. And we are allowing the few good, well-qualified blacks who are in education to be stolen from us by other states because too many of us are not serious about actively recruiting them and making them a part of our staff. That's the advice I'd give to state of North Carolina. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you taking the time. This has been an informative interview. I've learned a lot, and you're busy. You have a good school here. The philosophy is...
I appreciate you taking the opportunity to come by. I'm sorry I took so much of your time, but I'll be honest with you. I decided some time ago that I'm not in a hurry anymore.
I see.
I'm not in a hurry anymore. There are things that need to be done that shouldn't be rushed through. And I guess I take up too much of people's time like yours.
No, but this is very good.
I'm not in a hurry. That was not done can be done tonight, tomorrow.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time because when you are trying to finish something, you know, you have a goal, and everybody except one, I could not get, you know, and after I would explain that I made the trip to this part of the state, and you know, you altered your schedule, met me yesterday, just to try to accommodate me, and I appreciate that.
Well, I felt guilty. I said to myself last night, I had told you I was going to be out of town, and I had planned to, and until yesterday morning, I thought I was going to be, but I just decided I wouldn't make the trip yesterday morning. Things could go as well without me as with me, so I didn't. Plus, we had a program that I was responsible for at church yesterday, the Black History Day observance, and I was the program chairperson, my wife and I. So I was available last night at 7 o'clock, and I said yesterday, and I wish I had. I figured you were in the area somewhere or another. Mm-hmm. I said if I knew where she was, that I could call her, I could save her some time. Mm-hmm. But those things happen, and I'm delighted. I commend you for your work. You should be able to come up with some very interesting things when you pull it all together. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear some of that.
You'll get a copy.
You have interviewed some real fine educators. Awfully fine educators.
And what I have found, every one of you is exceptional. And do you think that you need someone from the other culture to affirm your preparedness or to say that you can do it, to help you along it for entry into...
Excuse me, just me. Mrs. I talked about F.H. Ledbetter.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Ledbetter was she was the person who taught us, me and Willis and those.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know what, she's one of the best teachers that ever walked. She made me go to college. She literally made, I was going to join the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
She made me fill out an application. Made some more of us. That's the way she worked.
Mm-hmm.
In her class, it was not can you learn, it's just get in a chair, that's all I want of you. She was the best teacher I've ever run into anywhere on the face of this earth. But Ms. Ledbetter did not teach self-doubt. I hate to say it, but she taught in arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
and academic arrogance that you can be as good as anybody. And I hate to answer your question, but the honest truth is, and I think some of the other guys who came along with me would tell you, ain't nobody got to affirm our preparation. That has never been a consideration. And I think that's the honest truth.
But what about entry into a position, to get a position?
I cannot speak for others, but see, and I don't say this arrogant, I say this thankfully, I guess. I have never been in a position that I, in education, that I asked for. I've never been in a position that I asked for. Let me give you this. I went to college because between Mrs. Ledbetter and my grandmother conspired to make me go. I think mother had just about given up and thought that I wasn't going to go. They made me go. Okay? When I graduated from high school, from college, I took my first job. My mother at that time worked as a maid at Irwin High School. I took my first job because the principal of Irwin High School, Dr. Jones, met me on the streets one Saturday evening and said, Lynn, I heard you just graduated from college and getting ready to go to Detroit. You signed a contract. Mother had told me. I said, yeah, that's true. He said, well, you come to see me Monday morning. He had just moved into central office. He said, I want you to work in Harney County. And that's how, you know. Until this date, I don't have an application on file in Harney County Schools. If you go look at my file, there's not an application in there. Okay? I got transferred from Ben Haven School to Dunn High School to be an assistant principal against my wishes. I loved it out there and didn't want to come to Dunn because I lived over here and I was young and I didn't think it was good to work in the community where you live. Okay? I went to ESA because the superintendent put me in a holding pattern for 1 year. He knew that Harnett Middle School was becoming available. He thought it was going to become available the year I went to Lillington, but it didn't. That was just a holding pattern. I went to Harnett Middle School because he sent me there. And I came here because he sent me there. I don't think it was any goodness on his part. I think he recognized that. In every situation I've gone in, it's been, it was supposed to have been a tough situation. You see what I'm saying? So I don't think that. I just never stopped to think that it was an affirmation of something. Now, I recognize that no man is an island. And I'm not foolish enough to sit here and say, I got where I got under my own steam. You see what I'm saying?
I understand.
But I have never sat around and worried about whether or not I can do a job. I always took the position that if you can do it, I can do it. You know, that type of thing. And I think most of us probably would say the same thing. I think. And that's not an arrogance. It sounds
No. If you know what you can do, you're just being honest.
Well, it's not so much of what you can do. It's your belief in yourself that you can learn to do it. You know. See, I tell kids in this school, they say that learning to fly a helicopter is one of the hardest things to be learned in the Army. But I tell kids in this school, they can take you at Fort Bragg, as dumb as you may think you are, and teach you how to fly a helicopter, if that's what they want you to do. And you will learn to fly a helicopter. You know, we all operate at a level far less than our ability to operate. I believe that. And I believe that with self-discipline and commitment, you can learn to do almost anything. It may take you a little bit longer than, than say someone else. But there are not many things you can't learn to do. And the same thing is true in terms of, see, being a principal of a school is really not being a principal of school at all. It's working with people.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not being a principal of a school.
Mm-hmm.
Being a principal of a school is, you know, it's totally different from being a principal of a school.
Mm-hmm.
It's working with people.
Mm-hmm.
The same skills that a good pastor of a church needs, the same skills that a good manager of a factory needs, you know. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Being able to get the best out of people.
Right, right, right. And being able, I think, successfully operating as principal of school means being able to cause people like this boy to believe that there is some good in me,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, in myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those characteristics you need whatever you're doing. If you want to deal with people.
Have you made any special commitment to the black males? We have special concerns about some of them. Have said they have a special concern.
Okay, yes. Let me put it this way. I have, from 8 to 3:30, I am concerned about all my kids. And I guess after 3:30, I'm concerned about all my kids. But I am especially concerned about black males. I am distressed about black males. Last night on HBO, I watched some movie about it was a documentary on a prison. And I just looked at what I saw as the canvas man. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned that we are at 30% of the manpower in Saudi Arabia. I'm concerned with what drugs are doing to black kids. I'm concerned about poor black kids because they have discovered that the way to get a dollar is to sell drugs. And that concerns me. I spend a lot of time dealing with kids that you could kill.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I say there is a counseling approach to behavior. There is a punishment approach to behavior. When he came to me today and said, "Mr. Allen, I'm going to take the test after school, but I don't have a way home." Good, I'll take you home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to talk to him about something that he's accused of doing last week.
Mm-hmm.
You follow
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. My wife works at the middle school, and she basically adopts those kids,
mm-hmm.
some of the toughest kids. She's reading teacher. She mm-hmm. gets some of that. She basically adopts those kids over there, and she kind of turns them over to me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the. You talk about the rewards of this job. We are partially sponsoring a boy at A&T. He was my son's roommate.
Mm-hmm.
This boy came from a family, good kid. This boy came from a family. Since he applied to school, his mother has not given him 1 cent. Every piece of clothing, every piece of spending change that he has had, my wife and I gave it to him.
Mm.
Basically, the kids call him out.
Mm. Does he stay at your house too?
About as much, when he's on, about as much as he does in there.
Mm-hmm.
He and my boy are real good friends. They play football together. They're just good friends. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of kids like D that could be saved if we had the resources to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking in Parade magazine yesterday at gifts to colleges and universities that people had given, and it was talking about people who had given large millions of dollars, and I was sitting there saying to myself, I wish I had $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish I had $1 million. $20 that I could use, like Bill Cosby used his 20. Mm-hmm. But it is of concern to me. We got the SBI working on a situation up in Dunn, where a young boy, about 26 years old, stands waiting for every kid who drops out of school to make them a part of his operation. Mm-hmm. Someone told me that his drug operation is at the point, a detective told me, that they can prove he takes in $10,000 a day. 26-year-old black boy. And at least 15 students who over the years have dropped out of school here, a part of his inner circle, they are selling drugs for him. And we got the SBI working on that now, mm-hmm. to bust that game. And a lot of these kids dropped out of school to join his operation, mm-hmm. because they are poor, they see the glamour, they think the gold chains.
They think chains and cars.
They think the car. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it concerns me, and let me tell you something, it's not all goodness. When you got an 18-year-old boy, you got children.
Yes, daughter, 22.
When you got, so you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. When you got an 18-year-old boy who has been just as good as good, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Michael has been a good kid, mm-hmm. and Dee has been a good kid. Mm-hmm. It causes a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. You know, because you look at this kid and you say, my boy could have been like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It is. It really is.
So, yes, I'm concerned about mm-hmm. black males. I think we all are.
Yeah.
We are losing good black males to the streets.
Yes, we are.
We're losing.
And I think